so easy for us to not be still. A friend of mine was telling me the other day that he was taking this assessment on whether or not he has adult ADHD. And he hit every single one. And I was like, gosh, I know what that's like. But he was talking about even just like his body won't stay still. And he didn't hate himself for it. He wasn't mad. He was just saying, look, this is what happens in my head and in my body. And I want to remind you that God gives you and I opportunities to be still. Even if your toe taps. Even if you find yourself kind of moving, humming. I have a brother who, like me, has all kinds of things going on in his mind, and this is how he used to go to sleep at night. I just started to become white noise to me. I enjoyed it after a while, right? But like, that's how he would go to sleep. Look, God knows you. He knows right where you're at. He loves you. He calls you into relationship with him. Relationship doesn't always look like unicorns and peace and clouds that clear every single time. And if there is some clouds, then there's got to be silver lining there. Not always. Sometimes it rains. Sometimes it's really, really difficult. And we have a chance to be grateful. Look, as part of our worship experience, we've always had giving and taking an offering. We don't take an offering right now. That's like taboo. Don't touch stuff. Just handed all of you guys that are here in the building the communion elements. I cleaned my hands at least 6 minutes ago. Look, we live in a world that's just not perfect. You live in a body that's not perfect. We have a God who is. Keep your eyes on him. That doesn't mean you click your heels and pretend like you're not here. You're still here, and he's still with you. And he walks with you. And I think the things that are most challenging for me here are the opportunities to focus most on him. As Pastor John talked about, the darkness is here, but the light has come, and the light shines brightest in the darkness. And so, what do you want for Christmas is what we're calling this. That's like the number one question, right? I try to ask people, what did you give for Christmas? What are you going to give, right? But I mean, I get this. What do you want for Christmas? And last week, Pastor Zach, who happens to be my son, talked about this barrenness. And I didn't share this with you guys, but I shared it with the second service. And I'll share it for all of you who are online. Zach was our second child. Our first child was born when we were 14 and 15 years old. Our second child was born when we were 22 and 23. We got married when we were 19 and 20. We did nothing to stop having children. We were very excited to be married, very excited to commit our lives to him, including our sex life and how many children God would give us. We were just like, we want another child. It took us almost 3 years. People really are like, what? No way. You guys have 11 kids. Well, we had one before we had 11. And it took us quite a while to get to two. So it was a precious gift for this man right here, for my own heart, to watch a man, my son, talk about barrenness and preparingness and wholeheartedness when he was the one that broke the barrenness in our childbearing. It was beautiful. It was a gift from God. So I want to give you a quick gift receiving advice. It's three words. It's really, really like Baptistic because it works in alliteration really well here. Somebody gives you something, receive it. Rejoice and relax. Relax doesn't mean don't do anything, but relax means like be still, settle down, it's okay, relax. I want to tell you something. There is this idea like Zach talked about last week about getting something or not getting something that you've asked for a long time and you've wanted it. But there's also this one, and I'll ask you this question. And online, please respond. How have you felt when you got a gift you didn't ask for? How have you felt when you got a gift you didn't ask for? Has that ever happened to you? I'm not just talking about gift, right? Like, oh, Lord, COVID is a gift. No, like you literally got a gift you didn't ask for. Has that ever happened? How's it feel? Depends on the gift. I mean, we might just stop the message there. No, we're not, actually. Okay. So it depends on the gift.
Depends on who gave it to you, why they gave it to you, and where their heart was.
Leslie says it depends on who gave it to you and what their heart was. That's good. I want to spend a lot of time here. We don't have a lot of time for it. I'll say this. We can feel grateful for getting a gift that we didn't expect, that we didn't even ask for. We can feel humbled by it. We can have some joy over it. Or we can be anxious about it. We can feel obliged, obligated to give something back. We can just be really actually put off by it. We can be remorseful. We can be stressed. We can feel pressure. You know what? We can be embarrassed. I don't want to tell you, you know, to spend an hour or more going to YouTube and watching these things, but I'll give you a little snapshot of what it looks like to watch somebody respond to a gift they didn't ask for in a really difficult way. Failed marriage proposals. Publicly. Hey, get your cameras ready. This is going to be great. Or back when they used to have these things called public events where you could go and there was a bunch of people around, like at a ball game or something. They got on the jumbo screen and a guy kneels down and asks his girl to marry him, and she's like, wow. But I think Leslie said something that I'm going to land on and that we're just going to launch from here. God is the best gift giver ever. Ever. As a matter of fact, he knows what you need before you even ask. Matthew, he's asked, hey, how do we pray? And we're going to be going through prayer for this whole month of December. And this idea of connecting with God, this idea of how do you talk to God? How do you slow down? How do you receive from Him? And Jesus gives like this warning. Don't go blah, 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 so you think you're heard by your many words. Don't be like hypocrites, He says. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And how about this? He gave Jesus. You might remember this one, right? Maybe just kind of humor me. I'll even go and I'll read it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That's a great gift. But we didn't ask for it though. And on it goes. He's our Lord, our Savior, our sin sacrifice, our price tag that we couldn't pay. Some people just don't want it. This leads me to Jesus' mother. She was a very, very out of the way, poor young woman in a part of the world that was out of the way. She was in the country of Israel and she was up north, and there was a problem with where she was at as far as the rest of Israel is concerned. It was a little too Gentile-y. You almost spit that out, didn't you? Okay, sorry. I'll just kind of try to dial in. They would have been considered the outcast of the Israeli nation. And that's who God came to give the greatest gift ever. Would you join me in Luke 1, 26 through 33? I'm sure many of you have already spent time looking at this, or you're going to. This is Christmas after all. We're talking about the best gift ever in Jesus. But I'm going to ask you to go back to what I pointed out and what we started this whole thing about. Really, when you get something you didn't ask for, you got to go to the one who gave it to you. There was a lady at this church, and she was getting ready to leave this state. And she just looked at me and said, I want to give you something. And I'm like, oh, okay. She walked me over to this window because it was open. It was summer. And she pointed out at her car. I'm like, excuse me? And she says, I want to give you this car. And I'm like, I felt awkward. I was like, there's so many people. And she goes, I'm giving it to you. You do with it whatever you want. And I'm like, could you just tell me what to do with it? You guys, sometimes pride gets in our way. But when you're humble and you know you are, you don't point it out. I'm humble because now you're prideful. In my humble opinion, too late. But when you're humbled and you know that you're not like the big deal, and something big happens to you, something nice happens to you, something powerful, something confusing happens to you, if you're a Christ follower, if you're a God person, right, where you love him and you follow him, you actually go, okay, God, what do you want from me in this? I'll ask you to go back to the first three words that I said to you. Receive, rejoice, and relax. Good gifts are coming your way, even when they seem packaged really, really oddly. Okay, Luke 1, 26 through 33. In the sixth month, this happens to be the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Because last week, if you were here, this is right before this is where we find out that she'd been pregnant and that God took away her reproach by letting her have a baby. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed, which was an official, basically, you're married. You haven't come together for those kind of relations. You haven't come together and live in the same household. But it's this year-long process, and you guys are hitched before you get hitched. That's what betrothed was. Some of you have people, and we got little kids in here and younger kids in here, and you would hope that they're going to marry somebody or whatever. You, in your mind, you've betrothed them, but this was an actual betrothal. To a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Seems pretty just straightforward, right? Who was it that gave this greeting? Yeah. It's pretty scary. This had been what we would have called the intertestamental time. Now we're into the New Testament as we're reading it and not knowing it. But there was a lot of darkness for these people for 400 plus years. Now all of a sudden this angel's popping around telling people, you're going to have a baby, you're going to have a baby, right? Ah! So there's some light. But he shows up, greetings, O favored one, the Lord's with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discernment, what sort of greeting this might be. This is pretty straightforward. You're favored by God. And she probably was wondering why. Maybe even how. And she tried to figure it out. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. I love that he says her name. He doesn't say, don't be afraid, girl. Don't be afraid, woman. Yo, chica, chill. He says, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means Yahweh is salvation. God rescues. If you don't know this, I'll say this. There's much history and much study and much about the Hebrew culture that, because the Messiah hadn't come yet, every young woman would have hoped that she could have given birth to the Messiah. And most people would have figured that that Messiah would come from this exemplary family, probably somewhere in Jerusalem. Rich, noble, super smart, well-known, you know, that kind of thing. You think your kid's great. Mary's kid was the Son of God. And your kids are amazing image bearers of God. He was God. He's going to be great. He'll be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Wow. She was wondering what the greeting was. What about that? Hey, Mary, I am an angel. See, that part is what always tripped me up a little bit. She doesn't say she's freaked out because of the angel. It's kind of assumed. She's kind of freaked out about the greeting. What? I'm favored? What does that even mean? And then he says, this is what it means. God sees you and he wants to give you his son. And it's going to happen. And so Mary gets over her freaked outness. She did chill, because in verse 34, she says, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Look, I haven't been with a man. I'm betrothed, but we're not at that point in the relationship yet. I haven't been with a man yet. So many people in the world want to make too much of Mary or not enough of her. She wasn't a virgin. She was just a young lady. I mean, it worked out the way it normally works out. A man and a woman, they really love each other. She gets pregnant. And this baby was kind of a big deal. And she's like, no, I haven't been with a man. I'm a virgin. I mean, whatever we want to do with that word virgin in the original language, this idea that not been with a man is pretty straightforward. We have the word virgin right there. There's a little note that says, actually, it means without, being without a man. Like, I haven't had sex. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. Wow. That's a big deal. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37, take this home with you. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. Mary has all the feels here, you guys. All of them. Surprise, fear, joy, humility. There's some of this fear, this awe, this respect, but there's also got to be fear like, okay. I'm going to have a baby without ever having had sex. Huh. Oh, and I'm going to tell everybody that God's the Father. That'll be very interesting. But we're reading in the text. What she says is like, she listens to him say, this guy is going to be it. He's the Most High God in the flesh. You're going to house God in your womb. And she just says, all right, I am a maidservant. I'm yours. Have your way in me. And then there's this phrase that kept coming to me, and I don't know who originated it. I didn't actually take time. If you guys want to look it up online or look it up right now, But a joy shared is a joy doubled. She actually takes time to go, all right. And so we're going to jump into that portion right here. In those days, Mary arose, verse 39, and went with haste, quickly, into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah, and she greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. I will take this time to make no apologies for the fact that life begins in the womb. Life begins in the womb. This is a perfect example of that. And so Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" You know what I want to say to you right here, right now? Elizabeth also got a gift she didn't ask for. And she was stoked about it. How do you get into a position where you could be stoked about what God gives you? Be humble. Be humble. Want Him. Pursue Him. Look, when we're done breathing, as Christ followers, we're with Him. You can't lose here, even when it feels like you are. Pastor John came up here, gave you a little something, and dropped the mic. We could have been gone, but there's no way I was going to miss out on an opportunity to get in on some of this. For behold, verse 44, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Three words: humbled, joyful, triumphant. That always reminds me of the "Darn you, who's the music is both joyful and triumphant." But more than the Grinch, these are real people, humbled, joyful, triumphant. Mary gets told you're going to have a baby without the benefit of having had sex. That's a miracle. But wait, so you know this is real, your relative, your first cousin Elizabeth, who is old, beyond having baby age, is pregnant. Not just pregnant, she's in her sixth month. And Mary's like, "Cool, have your way with me, God." Then she gets up, gets ready, and goes to see Elizabeth. Here's the prayer. Here's the what's called the Magnificat. Mary sees all this, gets told by her much elder cousin that you're blessed. You're the mother of the Lord. You're amazing. How would you even come into my house? And Mary's just like, this is outlandish. I can't even handle what's being told to me right now. I'm so excited, I should probably start spitting some lyrics. So she does. My soul magnifies the Lord. Remember, magnify. You can't make God bigger than He is, but you can focus on Him and He can become bigger in your life than He has been. And she does. My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She received, she rejoiced. For He has looked on the humble estate of His servant, came to a teenage girl who doesn't even have a husband fully yet. She's not into her life yet. So much more to happen, and He comes to me. All up here in Galilee and Nazareth, where people just are ignored and marginalized. And God came to me. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. Anybody who has a problem with worshiping Mary should understand that she didn't worship herself, she worshiped God. She was like, He's the big deal. He's made me a big deal, but it's Him who's done it. Some people think that when she told the angel, "Hey, listen, let it be so," that she was commanding him because she had some deity in her. That's not what happened. She was just saying, you're going to do this and I'm on board. Go ahead. How is it for you when the gifts come your way that you weren't expecting? Are you like, all right, God, let's go? Or are you like, nah, give it to somebody else, please. Maybe get like Moses. I'm not so good with the words. You should probably have somebody else do it. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy, set apart, is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Parents, keep telling your kids. That's why I need you all to know, I have no problem with children being in this room and even being loud. That's their gig. I know that they're great parents, but their kids actually get stoked. Sometimes they're cranky and all that. So are you. They're just a little more honest about it. Okay, hey, don't push it though, Eden. All right, just kidding. He's shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Just like Paul. Great job, by the way, Paul. I'm so thankful for that. He's remembered. He's remembered his people in his mercy. He remembers us. Look, I'm coming to you, people. I'm going to save you. And it's like, wait, through a virgin? With a baby? No, we need somebody to come and start cutting off Roman heads. And he's like, no, you actually don't know what you need. And you say what you want, but you need me, and you need me to do this. Would you let him show you what you need? Would you be humble? Would you let him include you even in suffering and struggle? And though the darkness is here, the light lasts forever and is inside of us as his people. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. That's a long time. I love this. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Anybody who's been around a pregnant person, that 3 months, a lot happens. What really starts to happen at the end of 3 months, unless you're maybe Kathy Day or perhaps Grace or Emma, is that you have what's called a baby bump. And she waited there, got juiced up, got filled up, got encouraged. I don't know if she was there for the birth of John or not, but she was there with her pregnant cousin for 3 months, her first trimester, and I know that something amazing happened because she actually went home. She wasn't gone for 9 months and then came home with a baby. She was gone for 3 months and came home with a baby bump. So she remembered something, and I saw this week as I was studying. Pastor Scott Sauls via Twitter said this: God has not called you to be awesome. He's called you to be humble, faithful, and free. Leave the awesome to him. Job's taken. We got it. So I want to remind you, as we're parting, of James 1, 16 through 18. I know that many times we wonder about what God gives us. But anything that comes to you is filtered through his hand. Even the bad, most difficult, painful things, God actually will use. Amen. He'll redeem everything, maybe in your lifetime. Don't be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Dear friends, receive from God. Rejoice that every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And relax. He didn't accidentally pick you. He didn't mean to give him something. You know how that goes. It's a little awkward sometimes. I'm going to wave to Jim. And Ryan's like, oh, hey. And I'm like, yeah, you too. It wasn't like, oh, I accidentally gave Mary the Savior of the world. And all of the challenges that would come with it. We're about to find out next week that she finds out 8 days after he's born, ooh, there's going to be a sword that pierces your soul. Oh, yay. What? And she pondered all these things. She didn't even know sometimes what the gift was. Receive from him. Trust him. Relax. Know that he's God. So I ask you, as Zach asked at the end, what do you want for Christmas? Do you want Jesus? Or do you just want everything to be the way you want it to be? Because one of you is God, and it's not you. Receive from him. Rejoice in what he gives you. And relax. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunities for us to follow you and to trust you. I ask you would help us to not try to make things happen on our own, but that we would actually take you at your word, knowing that all good and perfect things come from you. Would you help us to trust you and believe you and to follow you? I pray in Jesus' righteous name. Amen. I have some discussion questions for you. Thank you so much, Robin. You did a great job with all that. Please take a picture of these. If you're online, you can pause this right now and watch it. God bless you. I'll see you next week. We're going to look at Anna and Simeon, and there's some great stuff to take home. So, Jesus loves you. Be strong and courageous, and let it be contagious. Peace. Amen, amen.